Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here is Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope. And I just lived a Christmas, you know, Christmas present, the last show, and I don't want Christmas ever to end. So I have back, by popular demand, Kathleen Eaton Bravo, the CEO of the Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics. You know, it was just amazing having you on the show. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. I'm excited to be here.
And I know that there are many people who, for one reason or another, couldn't hear the show last time. And I do need to say that the shows are all on podcast on OC Catholic Radio. And so, you know, take a listen to the first show if you missed it. And even if you heard it, hear it again, because there's so many powerful things that occurred in that show in which we really talked about Kathleen's background, but also about what's going on nationally, locally, the RU486 crisis, you know, that we are in right now. But again, for those that didn't hear, give us a little bit about your background and why you are so passionate about protecting life.
Well, I just shared, I was raised in an Irish Catholic family that struggled with alcoholism and addiction to gambling. And so my father was Patrick O'Brien. God bless him. God bless his soul. Good man, but not a good dad in many, many, many ways. And, but anyway, I came out of that. I completely walked away from my faith. Said, you know, as I shared, like Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, I stood up and I pumped my fist and said, as God is my witness, I will never be poor again. And I sort of made that my battle cry, and it drove me away from my faith. It drove me away from my church. It drove me away from my family for about 8 to 9 years. I was out there making a lot of money doing the what we're told to do here in, you know, beautiful Orange County, you know, raise money, make money, have the big house, drive around the BMW, so I have the one child. I had the one child, married. Marriage wasn't strong. Anyway, it all fell apart. And it all fell apart when I walked in to the front door of an abortion clinic, Family Planning Associates, although I'd gone to Planned Parenthood for first, and left my son behind. I named that son Toby. As you know, I opened up maternity homes named Toby's House for many years, ran them. And I also started Birth Choice, which is now Obria. And I think we're going to talk about that. But I'm the reason is, and people say, you know, Kathleen, get over it. Forgive yourself. Believe me, I have forgiven myself because God forgave me on the curb outside that abortion clinic when I sat and cried and wept and reached out after 8 years and said, I know that you have not left me and I need you now. And he was there sitting with me on that curb holding me. And at that moment made the commitment that I was only committing to one woman. God, bring me one woman that I could take her hand and tell her she has options and walk her through this and she'll choose life. I can forgive myself. One woman. And I was just sharing with you, just one woman now has served in the ministries that I've run over 300,000, 350,000 women and men and families in crisis. That's me.
It's such an important issue for our listening audience. And I know that there are many, many women out there who did not hear the first show, or even if you did, you're still processing it. You're still trying to forgive yourself for the abortion that you had. What's the message that you have for them?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not an ongoing struggle. From some women that have shared with me, and I've spoken, as you can imagine, with thousands of women over the last 35 years of being in this ministry, and men, you know, and I'm so glad I said that, because men come up to me and says, why is the pro-life movement, when you're reaching out for to post-abortive healing, it's all about the women? But I paid for 3 abortions. I took my girlfriend or my wife to have an abortion, justifying it because we couldn't afford it. We didn't have insurance, whatever. But bottom line is, it hit me. I might not have gotten up under that table and had the procedure procedure done to me. But I am just as culpable to understanding that I killed my unborn child. So men and women that have struggled with it. But it's important to understand that you go through times where it hits you suddenly out of nowhere like a ton of bricks. But you got to remember to get it back into your heart. It is in your heart, but you have to remember that there's nothing we could do, and you know this, Steve, nothing that we can do that would break the love that Christ has for us. Nothing. And that when you reach out and you ask for forgiveness and he forgives you, even though it comes back in your life naturally, when you lose a child, that never changes, that never goes away, especially if you lost that child because of something you've done. But know that when you get to that point, you always have to go in prayer and sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your hearts, to come into your mind, to come into, you know, to you and to give you the strength to once again get up, understand God's forgiven you, God loves you, and you're here. But what you can do at that moment is maybe, Steve, that God is calling you to do something, to fight, to not be complacent, to not bury it. And where you are, I was just with a 63-year-old woman and said she buried it all this life. And she came to hear me that night and she said, I'm 63. I'm looking at mortality. I've done nothing. I said, but you're here tonight.
Amen. To make it count and to understand, just open your heart to receive the love that God has for you. God loves you passionately.
Passionately.
But God loves you unconditionally. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. He has not condemned you. He tells you later in the chapter in Romans 8 that nothing that you've ever done could separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing you've done in the past. Nothing you could do. The devil wants to say you're worthless, but you are so important to Christ because you've lived out a life in which you've made mistakes, but you're not giving up. Mm. And not giving up is the important thing. When I was being interviewed, deciding whether or not to go into the diaconate formation, I was being interviewed by a psychologist, and you know, I brought up some things in my life, and I said, you know, I've kind of have this life that's not exactly perfect. And he said to me, he said, that's what we need. We need people that have lived life that are real, mm-hmm. that can relate to people's struggles. So my brothers and sisters, if you have been involved with an abortion, you are in a perfect position to minister to those that are considering having an abortion as to why they shouldn't do it, or if they've had an abortion, to help in the healing process.
Absolutely. I mean, there's many women have found that healing. There's Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard. There's actually the program I just went through after, you know, 37 years ago, is called Abortion Changes You. And I went through it because it's actually online. It's a great program. Archbishop Corleone, actually, when he was bishop in San Diego, helped get this out there. And so Abortion Changes You, go online, put it in. If you haven't gone through any healing, then do yourself a favor. Sit on your bed one Saturday afternoon and go through this. And at the end, it actually then says, you've just basically cracked a window here, but now go and talk to your priest or go through a program that will help you heal and move on. So it is a key, I believe, part of our healing process is you don't have to do this alone. Now, I know Abortion Changes You, you're alone in your bedroom, but it then tells you to go out and continue the healing process. And I totally encourage people, women, to do that, and men. Abortion Changes You is both for men and women, or couples. Couples can do it together.
In the last show, and I often talk about this, is the greatest journey in the world, the journey of 18 inches from the head to the heart. Mm. And it's really important that we not bury the pain.
Oh, yes.
That we come to grips with the fact that we did things that we regret. And we want to let Jesus know that we have given Jesus our heart, our soul, and that we want to make amends and we want to be used by him.
Steve, what you just said, I don't know how to add to it, except for the fact that you just have to keep repeating that to listeners and to, as I do, to women and men that I meet when I speak that come up to me, is the healing process is painful but beautiful. The beauty of it is you can't, and especially as Catholics, you know, to then take it in and go into the confessional and receive the sacrament of reconciliation over and over again. I didn't just go in one time and tell, and I remember everything about the first time I walked back into the confessional. The priest was from Chile visiting. He was doing a missionary talk. And I went in and he held my hand and I shared my story. And he took my hand and he said, "You are one of the most strongest women I have ever met." Now, he might say that to other people, but at that moment, when I looked at him, he meant it. And as I shared the complete story of what I had gone through, and we have the strength to do what Christ calls us to do because we just have to give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who will come in within us and give us the strength, the words, and also show us the way of what God's calling us to do as post-abortive men and women to fight, to stand up and be a part of this movement. Don't be afraid. Go do something. You're called to do something to stop the slaughter of the innocents.
Call upon Jesus. Call upon the Blessed Mother.
Oh, yes.
And just say the rosary. As it says in Philippians 4:13, we have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. As it says in Philippians 4:19, my God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, you have the strength because Jesus will give you that strength. My brothers and sisters, Jesus will supply every single thing you need. In Ephesians 1, it says that we receive every spiritual blessings in the heavens. Call upon Jesus. Believe. Mm-hmm. That's what Kathleen Eaton Bravo did in starting Birth Choice Health Clinics, now Obria Medical Group. And we're going to find out more after the break about what that was all about. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here high atop the Tower of Hope once again with my hero. And I'll say that I don't say that too often, but there are many people that are my heroes. But Kathleen Eaton Bravo has been a class by herself in the many years I've known her. The founder of Birth Choice, the CEO currently of the Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics. We've been talking about this fervent prayer that has to happen. The prayer of the heart, the thief, the good thief on the cross. When you have that transformation, it's not how long you pray, but it's how fervently you pray, that you pray with your heart and you say, Lord, I'm ready. Take me, take me. And you were sitting on a curb and it didn't happen right away, but at some point in time, you had women pray over you and you said, I want to be used. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, after I was sitting outside the abortion clinic and I had a flat tire, I look now and I say, God has a sense of humor. Well, I'm going to get her to sit down and think about this. So I'm just going to make sure that she can't drive away and stuff it. It was that flat tire in those 20 minutes to half an hour that changed my life, that God was there holding me, loving me, being with me. But as I shared, when I said to him, bring me one woman, and if I convince her not to have an abortion and I walk with her because there was nobody there for me, that I can forgive myself. I had tied it to, I can't forgive myself, even though I knew at that moment that God was sitting there, that he was sitting there and holding me as I wept and wailed and rocked back and forth. But even then, it was hard for me to let go and understand that I didn't have to make a deal with him. Like, I'm going to save one child so that I can forgive myself for taking my own child. But it's our human side. But actually, I remember that moment, and it was saying to him, bring me one child, that actually planted in my mind and then into my heart that I had to do something. And I still went forward. Now, the next year, I walked up. 2 days later, I was back in the crazy life that I was, and I slipped back into this. But I lost everything. I almost lost custody of my son. I was a mother when I aborted that child. But 60% of women that have abortions have had a child. So it's not that women don't know what they're carrying. It's just that it's in our head, and we're able to let the world and secularism tell us it's okay to do this because it's all about empowerment. And you know, if you're a Christian, God's supposed to forgive you. All those things go through your head, and it is until you get into your heart. So in that heart, and where we were a year later, as I walked out of the a church for the first time in 8 years and went and received reconciliation and gave myself to Christ, that one woman, that Suburban woman, ended up to be over 300,000 in a ministry that I founded 35 years ago and worked in and then founded here and brought back to California. And I'm just one woman. And the challenge is that how God uses our pain, our suffering, our sin.
Amen.
He uses that to share our story, to be open to understanding the transformation that takes place within our heart and in our soul when we understand that God is an all-forgiving, loving God. He never turns from us. He is carrying us. You know that poem where he carries us on the beach, you know, there's one footsteps and it's God's carrying us. Don't ever forget that, because that's what gives us the strength to fight for life, for faith, for our freedom, for our religious freedom, and fight to be the person that God's called us to be.
We must always remember that God is a God of hope, and God is there giving us hope. And even when we're struggling and feel like we don't know where to turn, God is going to bring people in our lives to make a difference. And that's what happened with you.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Well, it ended up, I finally went back to a church, and after the end of Mass, I was crying because I couldn't receive the Eucharist. I wasn't in a state of grace. And at the end of the Mass, a woman got up, and this is a year later, and I was a mess. And in fact, by this time, I'm in Oklahoma, California, now I'm in Oklahoma. But God took me there to hear that message of that woman that got up after Mass, that 3 minutes, and said, I run a pregnancy resource center, and we love on women and offer them an alternative to abortion. Took me right back to that curb. A year later, God reminded me, you promised me that you would do something, and I brought you here to meet these women. And that night, I went to a training. They prayed over me. They were very charismatic, prayed over me. I accepted the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I started working in the pro-life movement. I always say this, though, Stephen. Maybe you're going to look at me, but I struggle with, and I always say, I'm not a holy woman. Because I don't want you to think in this story, I'm this holy, perfect, everything's right woman. I am broken. I'm still broken. I still fall into despair. I just shared something that happened recently in my life. I went to bed. I wouldn't get out of bed for 5 days. I was angry. I felt like God didn't fulfill his promise to me. And I turned immediately. It's that spiritual battle. But when we have committed ourselves to Christ, when we are living our faith, even in those struggles and those darkest times, He is still there for you. And I found that with a husband and some wonderful people that came and prayed and said, this is life, the life that we live.
When my mother was on her deathbed, God gave me a scripture that I think is really appropriate right now. And it's in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does that really mean? God is the God of hope. He is saying he doesn't condemn you. He's saying that all things will work for good. He's saying in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that he will use all circumstances for good.
Yes.
And that we need to give thanks.
Yes.
That even though we are sinners, even though we're broken, he's going to use it all. Mm-hmm. And I would never correct you, but I do want to clarify something. That the word holy means to be set apart. It doesn't mean to be perfect. What it means is that Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, his wiping us clean of sin is what sets us apart. When we say yes to him, we have to say, yes, I believe. You are my Lord. We have to have that transformation, that metanoia. When we do that, even though we continue to sin, that's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation, we are holy. We are set apart, but we're not perfect. But the important thing, my brothers and sisters, is that we're striving for holiness.
Yes, that's every day.
It's striving. It's not a destination that we hit overnight, but it's just a journey. It's a journey. So you started these medical clinics. Actually, they weren't medical clinics at first.
No.
Tell us about the beginning.
Well, they were pregnancy centers where it's basically a pregnancy resource center. So in 2006, my Phil, my husband that you knew of 25 years and the father of my boys, had a heart attack and died. He didn't work. He stayed home with the boys because of health issues. So I ran my own for-profit company for 20 years, and I supported our family. And at the same time I started that, I started the Pregnancy Center Birth Choice in Mission Viejo. So my company supported Birth Choice, and the funds came over here, you know, and I did all the marketing because we didn't have any employees. All we had to do was pay rent and the phone and pregnancy tests and that type. But most everything was donated. And when Phil died, I knew that I was being called into the ministry full time. I came to the board and I said, I'm going to close my for-profit. I'm going to come over here and we need to take this medical. God took me over in the business world to understand that when you open up a company, the first thing you do is you look at your competitor. I mean, you're not going to survive if you don't understand what is your niche. Well, how can you do it better? And who else is doing that? And so I went up with some of the largest design and marketing firms in the country. And yet I ended up having some of the largest biomedical device companies like Medtronic as my clients. How did I do that? Well, I looked at the competitor and I found my niche. I found how to do it better. Pro-life. We have a niche. Who's our competitor? The abortion industry. The largest one, of course, Planned Parenthood. So we have a tendency to say we're against this, we're against this, we're against this, but we don't really know what that means because we have to take a step back and say, what can we do to be a competitive model to get women, break their relationship with Planned Parenthood? You see, every business goes into business, whether you're a hamburger place on one side of the street or the other. How do you get the people to buy hamburgers over here? Think about this. It's a very simple business model. How do we get women out of Planned Parenthood over here to us? We have to offer the services, minus abortion and contraception, but the medical services that's driving them into this is their healthcare provider. You have to change their environment. You have to change the scenario. And you have to say, we're here. We're across the street. We offer pregnancy tests, ultrasound, well woman care, cancer screening, pap smear, breast screening. We offer prenatal care, OB care. We offer UTI testing. In other words, we want to be your healthcare provider. Why? Because as a competitive model, we cannot be a reactive model. We cannot be, as we are sort of addicted in the pro-life movement, to sitting around waiting for a girl that's already in crisis. She's already in unplanned pregnancy. We're reactive. And then we go into action and we grab her and we get her to save the baby. To me, and we count how many babies we save. To me, I don't think that's what Christ calls to. We have to be proactive. And so my model was being proactive. Go upstream. Get to these young people through other medical services. They're STD testing. They're sexually active. They've got to go somewhere. Bring them to us so we can get them off that slippery slope before they end up down here in a crisis unplanned pregnancy. So our model is a competitive model to do one thing. To get the women and the patients out of Planned Parenthood across the street into our medical clinics to serve them, to love this woman. This is life. To love this woman and get her off the slippery slope of hooking up, to change her life, to educate her how beautifully God created her reproductive health and she needs to protect it, and how much happier she would be if she shifted over and lived a life of, you know, we say of abstinence and holiness, but you educate her in a way that gives her education and truth that empowers her to be a better her. That's us.
To live out the life of abundance, as it says in John 10:10. I've called to give you life and life abundantly. And that means living a life of Christ.
Yes.
Living a life in which you give your heart, your soul to Jesus, and you realize that he is there for you. We're going to be right back to learn more about Opria Medical Clinics and what you can do to make a difference. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, who is the CEO of Opria Group and founder of Opria Medical Clinics and also founder of Birth Choice.
Yes.
First Choice Medical, what evolved into First Choice Medical Clinics. And so you started with one medical clinic, mm-hmm. right? And then evolved, actually a pregnancy clinic, then evolved into medical clinics mm-hmm. that you kept expanding. And I know I was fortunate enough to be part of a team in your board to work on strategy, on going national and mm-hmm. all the train depots and so forth
yes.
and what we can do to expand out. And in that process, there was this evolution of a name change too. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, again, I'm a businesswoman and I brought all that business experience with working for, you know, a large company and then running my own company in a very large market of medical device. And so God really was training me out there to bring me over here and understand that you have to have a strategic plan, a business model, a logic model, sort of a theory of why you're doing what you're doing. And the one thing I knew that our numbers never got to where they should be, and discovered as we researched it, it was because of the name. The abortion side has a lot of money, as you know, $500 million of that coming into Planned Parenthood itself. And there's so much money that they actually have done huge campaigns on really educating from junior high school into colleges, universities, that the other side, those pregnancy centers that are saying they're clinics and they're going to serve you, but really all they care about is making sure you don't abort your baby. All they care about is the baby. And then they would actually tell you who their names are. In the LA school district, in fact, every student in high school, junior high and high school gets a book. And in this book of white pages, there's a middle section and it's blue. It's light blue. The page is light blue. And in that, it actually educates them on the pro-life movement, on these pregnancy centers and how really we're evil and so on and so forth. So I'm saying that because you see, when they're fed this from a very young age, they know who we are and they know our names. Well, if it has birth in it, it has choice in it, it has options in it, it has life in it. They're those Christians that you're going to go in there and they're going to thump you with a Bible in the head. They're going to take away your choice, your rights. They're going to preach at you. And it's sort of a scary thought. You're going to go into this and they walk in and there's crucifixes on the wall and blah, blah, blah. And so I realized that we chose our names in the pro-life movement because we wanted the donors to love it. And we loved it. You know, if a woman's going to search for, is going to have an abortion, would she go to the Women's Life Center? You know, we never really thought it through, but the donors loved it. I mean, and donors love birth choice. It's birth choice. But the patients that we wanted to see that were struggling with if they're going to have an abortion and your name is birth choice, they're not stupid. They pretty much know. And so all of a sudden, as this battle of pro-lifers versus Planned Parenthood started to grow and grow and grow, a lot of it started actually back when Lila Rose started doing her, you know, little videos of what's really going on in Planned Parenthood and so on and so forth. And so all of a sudden, our numbers started dropping dramatically. And when we talked about what's happening, we realized, so we went on university campuses and we did some focus groups. And we went in with birth choice and we asked them what it was. And men said, it's a birthing place. But women said, oh, I think it's pro-life. I don't trust it. I think that's Christians. In other words, they already were saying exactly what we knew that they were being taught. And so we stepped back and thought, first of all, we did something at Birth Choice here in California, and that is going full medical, full comprehensive healthcare clinic to compete. And we talked about that. The second thing is we strategically located those clinics within areas that we knew that Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry was targeting. Long Beach Clinic, for example, has a very high African-American, you know, population, which, of course, we know one out of every two black babies are aborted in this country. They strategically target the black community and then moved over to the Latino community. So if you look at where the mega Planned Parenthood is around the country, it's in the inner cities or in very low, poor income and mostly different cultures in there, but, you know, African-American, Latino, Long Beach, a big Cambodian population. And where were we? Where are we? A good idea is go into L.A., the city of L.A., and you look at the core of the city of L.A. and look at all the pregnancy centers, and they're all on the outskirts in this circle on the outside, and you look what's in the core of it. I went into Hollywood and Vine area, and there was 9 abortion clinics within a 3-mile radius. And they were huge. 9. And where were we? We're out in the little fuzzy, you know, sort of the white communities where we felt comfortable.
Mission Viejo.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And so anyway, we started looking at this differently and we thought we have to make an impact nationally. Why can't we take what we've done and believe that God can take this 3,000 to 4,000 pregnancy centers out there, all with a different name, all hyper-local in their little community, and exactly in what you're talking about. When you're looking at the core of the cities, they're on the outskirts in the lovely little Mission Viejo-type areas. And so we felt that God was driving us into the core of the darkness and the abortion industry, and how do we impact it and what do we do? I took it to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and said, I'd like to create a brand. I'd like to have a brand. Everything we buy is a brand. Look at you right now. Everybody look at yourself. Your shoes are a brand, your hair, how you wash your hair, your makeup, your clothing, what you eat, everything, your car, everything is a brand. When you think of a brand, In our the work that we do, who's the brand that you think of? Planned Parenthood. So when people say, well, I don't understand the importance of a brand, you kind of want to say, well, then we probably shouldn't be having this conversation. The reason Planned Parenthood is so powerful, because 100 years ago, they formed a brand and they branded who they are and they've stuck to it. Their brand is eugenics. Their brand is to destroy, to have poor women abort their babies. So the poor will go away because we're not going to have children. We're going to make sure they don't have children. And that's Margaret Sanger's eugenics. And it stands true today. And it's been proven over and over and over again by Lila Rose and David Deleuze and the work we do. So think about that. But on the pro-life side, on the faith side, on God's side, we have 4,000 little pregnancy centers. And I'll tell you where I go. When I go all around the country and you meet with young women that go into Planned Parenthood and said, I grew up in this. I'm a Christian. I'm Catholic. I'm a Christian. I'm pro-life. But I go to Planned Parenthood. Why? Because I didn't even know what a pregnancy center was. And I couldn't find them. But I know where Planned Parenthood is. So bottom line is, it's taking all this information as a businesswoman, realizing we need to create a brand. I couldn't brand Birth Choice because it was not a name that would resonate with the millennials of today. And so we moved into this brand.
What does it mean?
Well, I always love this question. And really, I did not select Obria because it meant something. And so I love it when I have an elderly couple that's supporting us and love Birth Choice and understand, loves the, you know, life in the name. And so I said, what does it mean? I say nothing. And their faces just, like, give me something to grab onto because I'm not comfortable with this. But bottom line is, I said, well, Obra, the key is Obra in Spanish means works, and we're doing good works, and you can kind of do it, and you add the I, and it's about Obra and the good works and his eye doing it. So they kind of smile and say, but the most important thing is it is a brand that I could trademark and own. With a million businesses going up in this country every day, if you want a name, there's Birth Choices all around the country, all doing different things. I wanted a brand like Planned Parenthood that we could define from the very beginning. This is what Obria is. We will not change. This is our mission by being led by God. We will fight for the life of unborn child and support the women and men that God brings to our doors. So Obria is, so I end with this and this little segment of what is Obria. I was with a couple in Denver, of course, asking for funding. And he said, I absolutely believe, as everybody does around this country, donors always are asking, why can't the pro-life movement unite under a brand? They get it. They want to support something to where we finally unite, because we cannot win this battle if we are not united in Christ under a name, a brand that patients now know there's an alternative. Bottom line is, that's it. But I said to him, he goes, well, I just don't understand Obria. And I said, okay, John, I said, are you ever in an Uber? And he looked at me and started, I said, did you know Uber 5 years ago? Did any of us really know Uber 5 years ago? I'm always in an Uber. And I travel all the time. I'm in an Uber. And I said, 5 years ago, we didn't know what Uber was. And I said, today, everybody knows Uber. Uber has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with our faith, but Obria does. So if Uber can take Uber and make it Uber, we, with the help of God and the Holy Spirit, can take Obria and make it the Uber of pro-life today. And that's the beauty of Obria. We went back on those campuses and did focus groups on the name Obria. Absolutely switched from 86% to 92% not liking Birth Choice to 86% to 97% felt safe, felt it was a place to go. Men felt that they can come there. We need to see men. There's two people on this, mom and dad of this baby, man and woman that are having sex. And so all of a sudden we realized we hit it out of the park. So we own it. We trademarked it nationally and internationally. We own Obria, and we've defined it as the most beautiful pro-life, life-affirming, comprehensive healthcare clinic in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And how can people get in touch with you?
Well, basically, they can get in touch. I am Kathleen@Obria.org. Kathleen@Obria.org. And I also Kathleen@Obriagroup.org. Or go to our website, Obriagroup.org. You can read all about the national brand, the fact that we're now expanding the Obria medical clinics around the country.
How many
are there?
It's exciting.
Right now, we're at about 12, but we have another 20 to 30 that are going through the process. But we're doing it a little differently, and we're doing it through telemedicine. So hopefully we'll have time to talk about the importance of telemedicine, because it is the future of the pro-life movement.
Well, we're going to talk more about telemedicine, the technology, where Obria is going in a minute here. But my brothers and sisters, one of the most important things for us to realize is that there is a reason that you're listening to the show. God is calling you to make a decision. Are you going to fight for what you believe in? Are you going to fight for life? You're going to fight for the unborn? Are you going to make a difference with your time, talent, and treasure? So important. I was on the board of Birth Choice Health Clinics, kind of the transition of Obria.
You were the transition, yes.
And part of the strategic planning, some of the best years of my life, because I realized that they are on the front line of fighting for our faith, fighting for what we believe in, protecting of life. And I know that's why you're listening. Contact Obria, contact Kathleen, make a difference, because you will never, ever regret it. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to learn more about Obria Medical Clinics, telemedicine, and what is the future of the pro-life movement. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back high atop the Tower of Hope here on Empowered by the Spirit. Kathleen Eaton Bravo, CEO of Obria Group and founder of the Obria Medical Clinics. And what an exciting journey this has been, touching so many lives, making a difference in protecting the unborn, having babies born that wouldn't have been born. But there is changes and evolution as where we are in the pro-life movement. Tell us about the telemedicine change and evolution.
Well, Steve, you know, we talked about, you know, all of a sudden bringing this under a national brand, a trademark brand that we can own and identify and define as this very strong, life-affirming, comprehensive healthcare clinic that can compete. I want to say one thing. People say, well, how did you really create it? And you were on the board when we were doing this. And I said, well, you know, we didn't go out and recreate the wheel. We just copied Planned Parenthood. Look, they're successful at what they do, and they are a national brand, and then they have affiliates under them. And how does it work? So we looked at how they were structured, and we said it's working, and we're copying it. So basically, the Obria Group is the national brand, and Obria Medical Clinics are the affiliates that are around the country, both here locally and around the country. So the Obria Group is the one that is the national affiliate that continues to reach out and understand technology, where is healthcare going, studying, always on the alert of saying we don't ever want to fall behind again, because the healthcare is moving so quickly into technology, and technology today is driving abortion. I was in San Francisco during the Roe v. Wade, you know, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and I was speaking at the Students for Life of America conference, and I had a room full of high school and college students, and I asked them, and I'm asking you all, when you think about it, when you think of abortion, where does it begin? Where does it begin? And everybody, these students, yelled Planned Parenthood. And I said, now close your eyes and picture yourself in a bedroom and doing a pregnancy test, and you're pregnant. If your boyfriend's sitting next to you, so guys, close your eyes. I'm going to walk you through the scenario. So everybody's listening, close your eyes. And you think about this, and you're a young girl, and you take a pregnancy test, and it's positive, and you're sitting there with your boyfriend, and it's 10 o'clock at night on a Friday night, and you start crying. And what do you do at that point? Because now today they know that they have a very short time frame. If they're already 4 or 5 weeks pregnant, they have another 4 to 5 weeks that they can actually take the abortion pill. So we're going to talk about that, but I'm going to keep you here where you're at. I'm going to tell you what that is in a minute, but she's on this, like, all of a sudden panicking. I don't have much time. I need to get it. She's 10 o'clock at night. What does she reach for? And I said, now open your eyes. And these students opened their eyes, and I was up on stage, and I had my smartphone. So I want you to understand something today. If you take nothing from this show, abortion today is on the smartphone. The first point of contact, if she's going to have that abortion, is on the smartphone. It is right there in her hands. She searches for the abortion pill Planned Parenthood's telemedicine app. It's called Planned Parenthood Direct. Go on the App Store, look at it. You have to do this to understand where you're going. Put in Planned Parenthood Direct app on the App Store. It will come up. You know, it's free. Download it, and you're going to see. Now, all you have to do is if you go on Google and you just put Planned Parenthood Direct app, it'll come up, and you can actually see the picture. You don't have to download the app. You can actually see it. Now, I want you to go to Obria Direct app. Google it, Obria Direct app, and guess what will come up? The Obria Direct telemedicine app. Just like the plant, when you look at it, you're practically looking at the same thing. Why is this important? I have shared that today 50% of abortions are done by the abortion pill. Are you 46? 50%. Some states, Iowa, at 76%. Planned Parenthood's goal is to have the first trimester abortions be RU46, 75%. 80% of the abortions in this country are first trimester. 75% from Planned Parenthood will be aborted in her bedroom. She is in her bedroom. She's pregnant. She reaches for her phone. She searches the abortion pill. Planned Parenthood Direct comes up. She downloads it, fills out a patient application form. A nurse comes up. This is a HIPAA-compliant online virtual medical clinic. It is, we call it our click and mortar. It's not the brick and mortar. It's through a click. It's the first point of contact. That young girl can be talking to a Planned Parenthood nurse within 15 to 20 seconds after she discovered that she is pregnant. Now, think about this. If Planned Parenthood is that first point of contact where you're going to save a life or lose a life in those first few minutes, that's where that decision is made. If they've already got her, we're not going to get her. If that girl doesn't have to go into a Planned Parenthood brick and mortar clinic, she's certainly not going to come into ours because we're not always the first. We're always one, two, or three, or four below in that. We find them, but of course, we're not where they are yet. We've lost the game. Our numbers across the country are dropping dramatically, and everybody's asking why. I'm telling you why. Because they want the pill. We don't give the pill. Planned Parenthood is on telemedicine. The pro-life movement is not there, and we are today. You saw it. You just took the information. Obria Direct app. So what it is now when that comes up, we come up. Now, we have only launched here in Orange County because now we have to do some integration and to integrate it into EHR systems, electronic health records, so on and so forth. But we've launched, we've beta tested it, it's working, it's up. We can now drop this platform. And by the way, it was a program that cost us about $500,000 to build. So this is, and it took us over almost 2 years. I found out about telemedicine through a beautiful Catholic couple down in San Diego who I'd gone to ask for funding. And they said, you go build telemedicine and, you know, we'll help. So abortion pill on the phone, sent to her home or picked up at a pharmacy or go to your local Planned Parenthood and walk in and get the pill, go home, abort the first 72 hours, the baby dies, the first pill, and the remainder pills puts her into labor. She aborts the baby in her bathroom and then she flushes the baby down the toilet. The reality of abortion today is the bedroom abortion on the smartphone, not in the clinics. The second point of contact is reaching her, get her off that cliff through a nurse, the telemedicine nurse of Obria, and then get her into one of our brick and mortar clinics or private providers that will then educate her, love her, and get her to understand that she can carry this baby to term. So I'm telling you this today is because I just saw an article about 2020 on where healthcare is going in this country, where the decrease of brick and mortar and so on and so forth. So today it is all technology. It is online. It's web-based and phone-based, and we have got to be there. And we are with telemedicine. We're there right now in Orange County. And so what we're doing nationally is spreading this, dropping it into zip codes and all the groups that are now coming under Obria. The first thing we're doing is getting them up on telemedicine.
Kathleen, this is so exciting. Telemedicine is the future. When someone, a woman takes RU486, is there any hope for reversal?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Steve. But RU46, the abortion pill, which is taken in the first 10 weeks of pregnancy, if we reach that woman within the first 72 hours, I shared that the first pill you take kills the baby within that first 72 hours. If we reach her early, so actually today we have an abortion pill reversal program. I'm not going to go into detail, but bottom line is yes, we can reverse the effects of that first pill if we get her early. And how we're getting them is these girls are not only searching on their smartphone for an abortion, they're searching for abortion pill reversal. They find the hotline, they are sent to us. We have 20 moms right now that we were able to reverse the effects. We got them early enough. We just flooded them with progesterone. The nurse, we did an ultrasound. The babies are, they're surviving and thriving. And we've had three babies born. Jake was the last one, little baby Jake, that mom had taken the pill. And we saved their lives because they found us through telemedicine, searching for abortion pill reversal.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How can our radio audience help you?
Well, we need funding, Steve. It, you know, we've only developed phase one and two. We have phase three and four. We're up. The other thing is Planned Parenthood now has an app called Planned Parenthood Care. We need Obriacare. What is the care? We need to tell people that we actually offer more services, more medical service. You know, when they say you can't defund Planned Parenthood because we don't have any groups that are offering full service comprehensive care. We offer more. We do pregnancy tests, ultrasound, STD testing, treatment, well woman care, pap smears, breast screening. Why do we do that? So we can break the relationship with Planned Parenthood, get these young women and men into our clinics and change their lives. We've got to grow telemedicine. We have to create an Obriacare app. And we cannot stop. By 2020, there's a great article, and it is so mind-blowing that the brick-and-mortar clinics will start to decrease, and clinics, virtual medical clinics online, it's all on devices where you can now be cared for right in your living room. Obria Group is the only group that owns the technology, the most profound face of life and abortion in this country. We're the only group that has it. That's what I'm doing. I'm on a plane all the time taking telemedicine into areas we know that there's high abortion rates. And to get me out there and to get telemedicine phase three and four completed so we can integrate this system deeper into the web and the smartphone and then build the next app and the next app. We must keep moving in this direction or we're ineffective.
So if you were making a call for volunteers,
yes,
what type of volunteers would you want to get?
Well, I need volunteer nurses because you see, when we really want telemedicine up is when the clinics are down. So when the clinics close their doors at 5 and then everything goes to automatic to a answering machine or, well, I'm telling you, that girl at 10 o'clock at night that reaches for her phone knows that there's somebody out there and it's certainly not us. If we're not in that first point of contact, we've lost her.
Kathleen Eaton Bravo, CEO of Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics, God bless you.
Thank you.
And God bless all the people that you work with as part of your organization. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord God, that you bless Obria Medical Group as well as all the pro-life centers, pregnancy centers, medical clinics throughout the world, throughout the United States. But with a special blessing upon the Obria Group, a special blessing upon Kathleen as the CEO, that you bless her and all the workers, Lord God, and bless all the people coming, men and women, that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit, that babies may be protected, that the unborn is protected. Lord Jesus, fill them with your grace and love, with your wisdom and hope, and fill them with life. Through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.